Let's try Wednesday, October 25th at 5:30. Regular meeting of the Oceana Community Service District Board of Directors. Call to order. Roll call.
Director Bernay.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Colwell.
Here.
Vice President Austin. President Wink.
Here. Okay. Will Mr. Colwell lead us in the flag salute?
Okay, ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have an agenda review. Do we have any changes?
President White, members of the board, we have modified our recommendation in agenda item 8B. We have provided a modified staff report with the item that has been adjusted in the disbursements. We have added a payment to RRM for $739.98. This is a process payment for the purchase order that was issued for the CPI work up at the yard or plans. This adjustment will increase the total cash disbursements from $348,101.69 to $348,841.67. So at the appropriate time, the recommendation would be for the approval of staff recommendations in 8B as modified.
Thank you. Do I have a motion?
I move we approve the cash disbursements presented.
We're approving the agenda.
Oh, the agenda.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good try.
That's part of the agenda. I move we approve the agenda as amended, including the amendment for 8B.
I'll second that.
It's been moved in favor. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carries 411 absent. 401 absent. Let's move on to closed session.
Okay, the board will adjourn to closed session. There are two items tonight. Item 5A, pursuant to Government Code 54956.9D4, conference legal counsel to determine whether to initiate litigation. There's one matter. Item 5B, pursuant to Government Code 54956.9A, conference legal counsel regarding the pending litigation of Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District versus City of Santa Maria et al.
Before we move into closed session, is there any public comment? Seeing no one in the audience, we'll move to closed session. Back to order at 6:04. May I please have a report out of closed session?
The report out of closed session on item 5A and 5B is no reportable action.
Thank you. I would like to have public comment on items not on the agenda, and I don't see anybody coming forward, so we'll move on to special presentations and reports, staff reports. Mr. Maricino?
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. All right, Lopez is currently at 54.5% full, which is 26,902 acre feet. As of the Lopez water year, we're at 380 acre feet, and we've pumped 20 acre feet. All right, we've had our daily rounds. 9 work orders, 5 USAs, 10 customer service calls. We had 3 after-hour call-outs. One was for the lift station 2 Fridays ago. The power was out for about 3 hours down on that side of Oceana and also, I believe, the Mesa. So that went really, really well. No major hiccups. We... We had a leak at 1940 Beach after hours that had to be shut off. And there was a meter box lid in the sidewalk over here on 13th Street that got removed. And a pedestrian saw it, and it was a safety concern because there was a hole in the ground. Somebody took the lid. I don't know why or what. So the on-call operator replaced it. We're still continuing to do meter change-outs. We had a yard cleanup with some weed abatement. Efron's, the alleyway behind Efron's in La Tapatia, that section of Maine is from 1954, and the services are all galvanized. And we had a leak on one of the services. So it was a 4-inch water main. And I discussed it with the general manager, and we upgraded about 18 feet of it to an 8-inch. And once we did that, we ran all new services to the 4 meters back there in the alleyway. And half of it was during the daytime, the excavation. And to not interrupt the two restaurants, we worked a night job. It went really well, really smooth. The restaurants were really, you know, thankful and happy we didn't interrupt their service. And yesterday, or actually Monday, we finished the concrete of the boxes, and we just got to get that area paved. And everything went really smooth for a long night. It actually rained on us. It was Friday morning. It started raining here, I want to say about 4 in the morning. And it continued for a little bit. It wasn't too bad, but it was enough to get you wet and a little upset. Other than that, everything's been going really well for us.
Thank you. Any questions?
No questions. Just thank you so much for doing all that work during the night, too.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Maybe that rain is a good omen.
Oh,
maybe that's a sign, do you suppose?
Absolutely.
Going to have 30 inches this year.
Ooh, I hopefully not that much. Or spread it out. I'll take the 30 inches, but spread it out.
General Manager, Mr. Ogren.
Madam President, members of the board, I provided a handout in order to tonight go into more detail than normal on some of the status of our existing work items. So I'll take the next several minutes in order to run through this, and in part it's prioritized on our goals for this year. So starting off with capital improvements, the next step on the emergency generator project is for a survey of the district property. And so our district engineer, DPSI, is developing a proposal to come out, and it's essentially to survey all the primary features on our property, and important so that we can identify in the permitting process where we're going to be placing the new generator. As you might recall, Gary Wilson, professional engineer, is going to be doing our permitting for us, so he's coordinating with DPSI on that survey. We received two concepts on the utility yard site plan for RRM, and those will certainly be on a subsequent board meeting for more discussion, but I just provided handouts in case any board members are interested, and we're going to be meeting with RRM on Monday afternoon in order to give them some feedback on these, but certainly the concepts that they've developed so far are they have good concepts included in those in their work. The big item right now that I've been focusing in on is the next bullet, preparation of general provisions for the bidding documents, and that applies to the current as well as future projects. So every time a public agency goes out to bid, there's one component is what's the project, the design, and the specifications associated with the project. The other big part of the bid package is called front-end documents or general provisions, and those documents relate to a lot of the contractual and public contracts code requirement. So Cannon Associates, Keone, who is helping us with that, has provided us with an example. I then asked him for three recent, and so he provided us bid documents from Arroyo Grande, from Paso Robles, and Santa Ynez Community Services District. I reviewed through all of those and done my first comparative analysis of those different bid documents. I've read through the entirety of the public contracts code as it relates to community services district. which thankfully was not as long as you might otherwise think it was. So hopefully at the next agenda we'll have front-end bid documents for your review. If not, then we might want to call a special meeting, because normally we don't have the second meeting in November because of Thanksgiving. So we're going to make the push to try to get them on the next agenda, but we might need to call a short special meeting to review those. Your board has already authorized us to put it together, but inherent in the BUD documents there are some sort of policy issues, and so we'd want to review those with your board. But again, that's the big item that I've been working on. The next item, as per what your board approved at the last, we've distributed the request for proposals for our water system update. The WRRP is the Water Resource Reliability Program. It's got a number of different components to it, but we did distribute that, and the idea is hopefully at the end of December, in the meeting in December, we'll be making recommendations. And the two board members who are involved in reviewing RFPs, once we get the proposals in, I'll be reviewing them with our two board members. Two out of the three technical assistance efforts funded by the State Water Board are complete, the leak detection work and the income survey. We just got news that the income survey is complete, and it appears that the estimate from the state on median household income in Oceano was, in fact, overstated. The revised number still qualifies the community for funding through disadvantaged community programs, and that determination should be good then for 5 years. And we're awaiting the final report on that, but we should get that pretty soon. The third component of technical assistance funded by the State Water Board then is funding applications for the capital improvement program. I'm not sure exactly on how the timing on that's going to work, but I've got my call into the state agencies. And then part of that, the next step will include developing local funding strategies concurrent with the engineers' efforts. So in the very near future, we'll have a general discussion item on your board's agenda in order to talk about the various options and some of the strategies that might work well for Oceano. So there has been a lot of focus in on the capital improvement programs, and with what the work that Carrie's been doing with the accounting and auditing, I'm going to maintain a focus on capital improvements. Policies and procedures then. The one during our work over the last 6 months that we've identified definitely needs to be updated is the treasurer policies, and agenda item 9B will speak to that in a little bit more detail. But incorporated into the existing policies, it gives staff basically the full authority that exists in the law in order to do lots of different types of investments. Granted, the law restricts the types of investments that public agencies can do. But embedded in the requirements is what's called the prudent investor rule. So the decisions we make are not made in comparison to a prudent person who might act on a day-to-day basis, but are based on a prudent investor, which is a much higher standard. And for an agency like Oceano, nobody gets trained as a prudent investor. When I sat many years ago on the county's pension board, they train all pension board members to do prudent investing, and they sent us for a week. For example, I was sent to a week to the Wharton School of Business, which is one of the nation's top business schools. So I have a little bit better understanding, but that was many years ago as well. And the idea is we want to bring that policy back to your board, because for a small district like this, the idea is the board should just make the investment decisions, and we don't really at staff level have any need for broad investment authority. The human resource policies need to be cleaned up. They're in good shape, but they're just sort of all over the board, I guess, in a way. And because we have the 2018 MOU negotiations coming up, we'll have that in front of you before then. One of the goals prior to MOU negotiations was for staff, Ms. Cassioli and I, to understand the CalPERS health options, and we've completed that. We went to a one-day seminar that CalPERS health provides as to, you know, what the program is about and different details. Because that's going to relate to MOU discussions down the road, our discussion with your board will be done in the context of the MOU negotiations, and that's typically a closed session item. But we've done our homework on there. And then the next policies and procedures we'll have to be addressing are the district's rules and regulations, and then there's some others. But in the meanwhile, I really kind of need to continue the focus right now on capital improvements so that we're ready to go out to bid on items, so we get the consultants on board in order so that they can do their work then. And then once the consultants are rolling, then I can turn my attention back to policies and procedures. No update on the developing the training program. We have been doing training on identifying things as we've been going along, but we haven't made any progress on the district's overall training program. On operations, Tony provided a couple updates, like the line repairs behind Efren's. We've also, in prior meetings, he's updated on the water tank and the repairs done on top of the water tank, and the diving where divers are sent into the water tank to do an inspection is coming up pretty soon. Those are some major maintenance.
There's a new diver available.
Yes, I did not get certified.
I know a diver.
That was fun.
Like a fish out of water.
Yeah, I was an ant in water or something. I don't know, a mouse in water maybe. And one of the reasons I want to focus on major maintenance and some of the things that are going on in operations is because Efren's water line in the alley there is a really good example where it was solid 3 days worth of work, and that was work that the operators had to do because of all the deferred maintenance on the infrastructure. Yeah. And so how much time are we spending on major maintenance that is pulling away from time to do normal routine maintenance? So we're tracking that, and part of that is so that when we move into the next budget cycle, the two-year budget cycle, we really want to have nailed down routine maintenance and what kind of staffing levels we need for routine maintenance. And to the extent that deferred maintenance might be utilizing some of that time, we need to know those numbers, because certainly as we move forward with the capital improvement program, then the need for the field crew to deal with some of these major maintenance times will be reduced. So we're very much tracking maintenance, major maintenance work. The completion of the SSMP, the Sewer System Management Plan requirements for 2017, that's done. That always includes a lot of sewer line flushing and some other work, but that's been completed, and we're going to be doing our records review to make sure that everything is up to snuff in case the Regional Water Board comes in and wants to audit our records. Lead and copper testing for schools is substantially complete. All the test results have been sent in, and we're waiting for those to come back. Any remediation work that might be required, if any, would be a school district obligation. But this new lead and copper testing, as previously mentioned, has sort of been a result of the Flint, Michigan issue. And so Tony has completed what the district is obligated to do on behalf of the schools. A couple of the items that were identified in our early goals are still pending, the SCADA and the lift station evaluations. But the other one that's been identified is sewer access. So especially in some of the areas sort of near the airport, with the high vegetation, we have some sewer lines that are going in there, and there's an abundance of vegetation, and so we have limitations on access, so we need to start working on getting access, which will require some significant environmental review. And then back to items in progress, evaluating level of effort and time requirements. This is the stuff that we're not getting to fully because of things like major maintenance or other things that come up. So for routine maintenance, valve turning, water system directional flushing, hydrant maintenance, painting and whatnot, meter box resets, raising manholes and valve lids to match road grade streetlights. And what we're going to, we're doing since the sewer system management plan is done, then in working with the field crew, we're going to identify certain things and then start doing our time studies, where if they go out there and they're doing certain work, then we're going to be timing it, and then the reconnaissance on How many valves do we have to turn on a monthly basis and start refining those cost estimates in order to, you know, better establish the requirements for the routine maintenance, sort of staffing requirements. And because the new position has been approved, the new individual will help with a lot of this record keeping and supporting the field crews and going through. It's sort of like the time and motion studies that, you know, we've all heard about. Those are specifically applicable to manufacturing outfits, but certainly when we're out there and doing some of the field work, they're applicable as well. In a manufacturing environment, you can often have a very tight time estimate in terms of how much it's going to take to do a specific task. In field operations like water and sewer systems, it's not going to be as tight, but we can still develop some reasonably good ranges. And some of this is important because, like water system directional flushing during the drought, we just didn't do it. You know, you don't blow out your lines as much because it involves ultimately wasting some water. Under the enforcement program, which was another goal, multiple minor cases are ongoing that staff's dealing with. But the bigger, more optimistic news is that I've got a meeting set up with Supervisor Compton and County Enforcement in November to hopefully improve the coordination of enforcement issues. Part of the message to the county is that it's challenging for us to pursue enforcement issues if they're not doing the enforcement issues on their side. Likewise, when the two agencies are coordinating well, then they tend to be very effective in enforcement issues. And it's ultimately important because if somebody is violating provisions of the district's ordinances or rules and regulations, then it means that everybody else in the community is paying for it. Moving on the backside to audits and accounting, the 2016 audit is in the final report preparation. The auditor is preparing the footnotes. The audit adjustments are complete and entered into our accounting system. And as previously mentioned, our auditor had a health situation that creates some delays. We've really been a high level of scrutiny, and there were just two adjustments that were identified by the auditor. One was a minor fixed asset adjustment where we didn't have the reconciliation to our fixed assets, and that was really sort of below what's called materiality. It is less than a $5,000 fix. It had no effect on cash or anything. But they found a mistake in there. And then the other one was it was about a $15,000 adjustment to our revenue accrual, which was above materiality. And what happened there is that in the meter period that spanned the fiscal year, we had a meter that was defective, and the bill to the customer was like extremely outrageous, $30,000. When we went through and we did the billing or the meter testing, it came back as being failed, so we adjusted the bill. But we didn't go back and adjust our estimated accrual, and that number was in the accrual, so it affects that accounting estimate, and the auditor was pretty sharp on catching that one. So, again, no effect on cash, no real effect on billing. It was just the year-end accrual, but that sort of is a good indication of how closely our auditors are looking at all the details. There were two other items that required special attention. The GASB 68 pension reporting, that's an annual requirement. And so that's always going to be looked at closely by the auditors at the end of the year. And then the sheriff's building adjustment, and that's been completed. And really, that then is the final milestone for the sheriff's building accounting adjustments, because we first reviewed the issue almost 2 years ago. I got policy from direction from your board, then we subsequently implemented it, and now the auditors are finishing the audit of all of that. So good milestone to be finished with that particular item. Oh, as a side note, when also I met recently with Supervisor Compton, did discuss the renewal of the sheriff's building lease, which is scheduled for 2022, and inquired as to whether there might be consideration of an early renewal. So I know that the county is looking at that right now as well. Lastly, with respect to the audit, we're completing the preparation of what's called the MD&A, which is Management Discussion and Analysis. I drafted it probably around May, but because it includes numbers, we had to wait for the final number crunching to be done. And so we'll be putting those numbers in there and finishing up the Management Discussion and Analysis and the Budget to Actual Comparisons. As a reminder, those are both required supplemental information. They're not part of the basic financial statements. They are required, though, and this is going to be the first year that they're included with the audit report, and at least in many, many years, if not the first time forever. And so those are a few things, again, that we're doing this year that hadn't been done in prior years. The 2017 audit is already underway. And then final on audits and accounting, other items in process. So the cash flow reconciliations determining interfund interest calculations and like pool cash reconciliations, those relate to item 9B. So I'll talk about those in a little bit more detail at that point in time. Then under grants, so I previously talked about two out of the three State Water Board technical assistance grants have been completed with the funding applications coming up, but the timing is yet to be determined. The local hazard mitigation plan, the RFPs, request for proposals, need to be prepped and distributed pretty soon. That one I have been working a little bit the back burner with it, and it needs to move forward to the front burner. And then, as previously mentioned, again, the Water Resource Reliability Program, the request for proposals have been distributed. Under Human Resources, our part-time administrative assistant for document management has been hired. Right now we're focusing on our HR items, in part because we have HR policies that we need to work on, but also in part because it will help clean up a whole bunch of files that are in Carrie's office. The advertising for the solid waste coordinator, operator, and training is upcoming, so I haven't posted that yet, and I would expect to do that in the next week or so. The health renewal, the open enrollment concludes on the 31st, so we're going to be, or this Friday, and we're all making our selections there. The 457 plan approved by your board has all been established. Carrie has worked through all the details with CalPERS on that, and a number of employees are taking advantage of the 457 plan. And then, as previously mentioned, we attended the one-day CalPERS Health Conference and the 2018 MOU negotiations. Finally, with the website, the design is complete. The next steps include narratives on the district services, so Nicole's put together a good to-do list on that, finalizing the photos that will be used, document transfers by the consultant, and then phase two training for staff, which is to teach us how to upload. And I don't have a specific date on that, but that will be completed pretty soon here. And then we'll be, you know, the future uploading of historical documents will be ongoing. So I wanted to make sure to sort of go through this list of a lot of different things that we're working on, because sometimes we don't have a lot of things on the agenda, but we are still moving forward on multiple fronts. And whether you have questions now or questions later, after the meeting, feel free to call at any time.
Let's ask, anybody have any questions now?
I don't.
I just have a comment.
Yes.
The only comment I had is I think this is fantastic from a visibility standpoint. And like when we have our website up, to be able to post like, you know, the general manager report, whether it's, you know, because some of it's going to stay the same from like a month-to-month basis, but whether it's monthly or bi-monthly, but having this so that people, if they wanted to see, like, what is going on? There's a lot of things going on, you know? And it's great for us, but I think if the community's wanting to know, too, like, well, this is all the work.
And Carrie's going to be doing the budget update for the first quarter, and my thoughts are is that that's the good timing to do an update on the various issues we're working on.
Yes.
Awesome.
Okay. Moving on to Board of Directors and Outside Committee reports. Director Burnet?
I have nothing to report.
I don't have anything either.
Director Caldwell, do you have any committee reports?
I have none.
Well, I've got a couple. The first one, and I was Tuesday, October 17th meeting of the Zone 11A Flood Control and Water Conservation District. That's the group that works on the lower end of the Arroyo Grande Creek, and we had kind of a comprehensive report from the sheriff's office, who is in the process, the sheriff's department is now in the process of clearing all the homeless people out of the lower end of the creek. They plan to get it completely cleared by about the end of the month, and then they plan on working regularly to keep it cleared so that they will allow, basically there should be no illegal camping or homeless people camping in the area from 22nd Street to the beach. The plan is that once they described it as the being a maintenance program where they would go down there. It's sort of like Zone 11A does physical maintenance, like clearing willows and having the goats down there to clear the brush, and the sheriff's department wants to have a social clearing the same way. So that's the goal. They don't know how it can work, but that's what they're aiming to do. They were concerned about it having an impact on Oceano, in that the people that were living, they figured one of the times when they surveyed it, there was 18 people down there. Well, that's what they contacted on one day of going down there.
Right.
And the concern was that those people would move toward Oceano. And the sheriff's other comment, I thought it was weird, interesting, they refer to the where our tourists come in, our beach area, as a Walmart for the homeless. That the reason they are down there is because their ability to steal, petty theft and steal things and steal food and stuff from the campgrounds is what they kind of have a symbiotic relationship with that. So they're working very hard to do what they can to clean that. In the meantime, they're also still working. It looks like there may be permits to clear out the creek channel in 2018. NIMS, the National Marine Fisheries, which was not willing to give permits to clear the creek channel at some point, is looking at doing that, but it also links into clearing 8 acres of the Oceano Lagoon down by the mouth of the creek so that the water can flow more easily from the lagoon into the creek in a support of the steelhead. So there's still a lot of studies to go forward on that. So that's a report on that. I also attended the October 18th meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Most of it was generally routine. Jim Hill, the mayor of Arroyo Grande, did bring up a topic that there was some discrepancies in the funding reports from different periods during the last year, and he reviewed those, and the recommendation was made that the new staff try and get some study on that to see if some of those discrepancies can be rectified. And there is belief that they don't feel anybody's taken any money, that it's just a matter of lots and lots of errors. And they also it was requested by the Sanitation District Board that the process begin on hiring a new full-time manager. So that process should start at the next meeting of the San District.
Next meeting.
That's hopefully.
What's the meeting?
next Wednesday night, which is...
That's right.
No. No, it's not next Wednesday night. It would be another week.
Okay.
Yes. The Oceana Community Service District meets on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month. The Sanitation Board meets on the first and third.
So it
would November 1.
November 1st, so it would be next week. Yeah, sorry. Anyway, and the other thing, there was a resolution. I believe it's completely signed, sealed, and delivered with the employee organization, between the employee organization and the sanitation district on completing a contract. Anyway, that's my reports. Oh, no, there was one more. The other day, the other afternoon, was 108 degrees in San Luis Obispo. They had a structure fire, fatal structure fire. And the fire, the heat, sent two San Luis Obispo city firefighters to the hospital. And I thought it was very, very creative. The fire chief there brought in a city bus that had air conditioning. And they used it to spell the firefighters, because the firefighters carrying all the equipment they're carrying, fighting a structure fire at 108 degrees. It was, so they were able to spell them off, and it's something that was real creative thinking. I think he needs a pat on the back for that. Anyway.
I will remind your board that when Ms. Cassiola was playing Samantha the Steelhead at a local fundraiser or a local event, that she got heated and the guys put her in the truck with AC on as well.
So. Works
hot
good.
Fish.
Yeah. Fish. Are there any public comments? And not seeing anybody coming forward, we'll move on. Correct? To consent agenda items. Have any?
Review and approval of the meeting?
Huh?
We're going to do the review of the meeting? Maybe we ought to do that.
The minutes. No, that's what we're, where we're on. Consent okay. agenda items, yes. And I'm supposed to call for public comment again, but as nobody's here, I will still make it very official and call for public comment. Yes. And I would entertain a motion if we've all read and approved the amended reports.
Yeah, I will make a motion that we approve the consent agenda as revised.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 4-0 with one absent. Thank you. Moving on to business items and legally again calling for public comment. Seeing nobody come forward, we move into 9A, review of the district's budget status as of September 30th, 2017. Ms. Cassiola.
President White, members of the board, item 9A, the review of the budget for the first quarter. I was going to do a quick summary, seeing as most is on track, so I was just going to start with the general fund. With revenues, we haven't received our first installment of property taxes, which we wouldn't expect to see until the second quarter after December. Overall, the first quarter is coming in with expenses, and it's just as we had seen in the past year, where some costs are front-loaded and being paid at the beginning of the year. Examples of that are the boot allowance that we give the crew, the LAFCO payment, which are both paid once a year, and then maintenance on software, which we pay twice a year. So those look like they're high, but really just because we paid them early. We also have costs that are only hitting the general fund, just as we had last year, but will then be allocated out to the enterprise funds through the admin allocation at the end of the year. And so this means that the general high, or in the general fund, they look high, but they are covered by budgeted amounts in the enterprise funds. And examples of those would be communication and dispatch and outside UB mailing. So then with the expenditures related to fire and lighting, all those are tracking right on budget. So the water fund and sewer fund, revenues look to be higher than expected. And this is part of us already collecting two of the six billing periods for in the first quarter. And that's also a direct relation to the outside utility billing expense being higher, and that's because we've already sent out those two billings and collected them. So those are directly correlated. The revenues are also high from the summer months of July to September, so seasonally we would expect those to be higher. For expenditures in both the water and sewer fund, we have some invoices that have come in for one-time jobs or replacements of equipment that we wouldn't expect to see for the rest of the year, such as we had tented the water yard for termites, so that came in a little high, and then the replacement of the computer in the front lobby, we had replaced that. Also, expenses related to the district's water supply from State and Lopez are paid at the beginning of each fiscal year, and the next half of those would be paid at the beginning of January. So that's why those look like they're high. So the same as last year with the garbage fund. Revenues are higher because we had unbudgeted revenues from South County Sanitary for the unbudgeted landfill savings payment. Expenditures in the garbage fund are extremely low, and we're waiting for our new operator to get busy and start implementing the new policies our intern Cody had gotten approved by your board. So those are ready for those policies being implemented. Lastly, with the facilities and equipment funds, revenues and expenditures are tracking on budget and should continue to. So for the first quarter, everything looks as expected. And if there are any questions or comments about how things are presented, happy to answer, discuss.
I only had one question, and I'm sure it's going to be an easy answer, but my accounting courses were probably 15 years ago almost. So on page 8 of 31 or 18 of 44, at the very bottom, the total expenditures being 197%, I was trying to... Because most of the others are, you know, roughly around 25% for the quarter, or maybe 50% if most of it's front-loaded. But 197, I was curious.
That number is looks out of whack because the administrative cost reimbursements,
okay,
where just right above it, if you look in the final budget for 2017-18, there's a negative $716,691,
right,
which is all the reimbursements that the governmental fund will get from water and sewer and garbage and lighting and fire. So none of those transfers back have occurred yet.
Okay.
If we look at the bottom line, the governmental fund expenditures or the administrative budget expenditures after those reimbursements will be about $83,000. And because we've expended $199 without any reimbursements yet, that's why we get that $197.
Without any reimbursements yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
So probably the better number to look at is on the bottom of the prior page. Both total personnel costs are at 24% with 25% of the year done, and services and supplies are at 23% with 25% of the year done.
Perfect. Thank you.
My only other supplemental comment was on the community cleanup for the fall, and I'm not sure if we had reported back to your board or not, and I forgot to mention this, Carrie, when we were talking today. Mm-hmm. But fall of 2016, your board had approved community cleanup and free. And it utilized all of our free services from the garbage company, plus we had to pay about $9,000 on top of it, roughly in 2016.
Oh, in 16, yes.
Yeah. And so in 2017, all the work was done within the dollar amount of free services from the garbage company. So we were all interested as to whether the level of refuse that the community was putting out on the curb for cleanup would be the same as last year, or if it would be significantly reduced, and as it turns out, it was significantly reduced, and therefore there's no cash out of pocket from the district.
Awesome. Yeah.
Question in connection with that, are we seeing more refuse now dumped in the alleys? Or
You know, we haven't been able, you know, because of the staffing limitations, we haven't been able to keep up with it in terms of comparing how much we're seeing dumped now versus previously, but my general observation is we're not seeing a lot in the alleyways. And because we don't have anybody on staff right now to do the enforcement side, we're also utilizing some of that free service just to have the garbage company come in and pick up the stuff we do see.
Excellent. Excellent. All right.
So that was pretty much a receive and file, and no actions necessary.
Okay. Any other questions?
No questions by me.
No other questions. And I probably shouldn't say this, but after looking at the somewhat confusing financial reports from South County Sanitation last week, this is extremely refreshing.
Well, I also find it extremely refreshing because Ms. Cassiola is doing the vast majority of the work right now. So I've been able to reprioritize and start getting our capital improvement program and other stuff rolling. So I really appreciate her work.
All right.
Well, Pablo set them up.
I thought maybe that was why the chocolates were here.
Oh, right. Yeah. Never mind.
And moving on then to 9B. Review of the district's fiscal year 2017-2018 quarter one treasurer's report. Again, Ms. Cassiola.
So, President White, members of the board, item 9B, we're reviewing the treasurer report for the first quarter. And you might have spoken too soon because I have a revised version. So we've provided the revised copy of the report with the public facilities account included at the bottom, so it would be the last account with the account number 0161. Public facilities are required to be held in a separate account, and this statement is sent as a hard copy to the district's P.O. box and is not included on our consolidated Rabobank statement that I get online, and so I failed to include it, and I apologize. So the first account held by the county, I have them listed first the county accounts, or the county accounts, and then I have the Rabobank accounts. So the first account held by the county, that is related to a water revenue bond that was just recently, we received email correspondence that we have paid that off, and so that will no longer be there. But then the second one, the 41005, that is where property taxes are collected and other things like public facilities fees are sent to our Rabobank account from that account to the, or from the county. So that one is much more active. It's also much more active. We keep more money in it because the county, we have to request the county to transfer funds from there to Rabobank, and it actually has a higher interest rate. It's 0.09%, while our Rabobank account is about a quarter of a percentage, so we like to keep more in there than in our Rabobank. So the last account held by the county is one that is related to the sanitation district bond that was paid off and we're going to request to be closed out.
Quick, correct.
Yes.
Sanitary district.
Sanitary. Did I say sanitation?
And that one was because when the CSD was formed, it was a consolidation of the county water, county service area 13, the fire department, lighting, and the old Oceano Sanitary District, not to be confused with the sanitation district. And bonds had been previously issued by the sanitary district, but those have been paid off. So similar to the revenue bonds that were just paid off last week, they have a couple of dollars left in them, and we'll have those transferred to the appropriate water fund and sewer fund. And so those two county accounts will be eliminated in the very near future.
$4.14.
We thought we had that one closed off, but apparently the county still had $4.14 they wanted to give us. So,
but it's at a higher rate. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so for the Rabobank accounts, So the first one, this is our checking account. This is where the district deposits cash collected on utility bills and where warrants approved by the board are paid out of. So that one is our most active. The second account, the 5783, this is our district's saving account with Rabobank, where the district gets only the quarter of a percentage I was talking about earlier. And that's why we hold the majority with the county. So as you can see, in September, it was one of our lower collection months, and that's where we had to use our savings account to cover some of the warrants that went out, such as Five Cities Fire, and that was why that big transfer happened in September. Then for the 7655 account, that is a water fund deposit where the district only receives interest on that. And then the last one is the one I added to the revised report is the one that the district holds public facilities funds in after they transfer it to our Rabobank account, and it comes from the county account 41005, and we take the public facilities fees and move them into there and hold them in the separate account. I believe me and President White had to walk down to Rabobank one day and do a transfer together. Thank you.
They wanted bodies.
Yeah. I'm sorry, did you say the 41005 county account goes to the seven? Which one?
The bottom one. So the public.
Okay.
Yeah, investment money market 0161.
Oh.
They send automatic ACHs, and we move them into there to hold them all separately.
Let's clarify, though, because Director Brunet, I think you were referring to 41045.
No, 41005.
41. Yes. Okay. So the debit of a negative 4,107.71, that was the county's transfer to us of public facilities fees.
Okay.
That's the only thing that they pay water bills and sewer bills on a normal basis. But in terms of special revenues that are collected by the county, whether property taxes or public facilities fees, it's only the public facilities fees that they'll automatically transfer to us. And then it goes into our public checking account 1101 at Rabobank, and then we have to make the transfer over to 0161, the public facilities fees.
Okay.
And then that's what Carrie had mentioned, that she went with President White to essentially make sure that we're authorized to make those transfers.
And it's the public facilities money that's going to put the generators.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that 4,107.71 is therefore still sitting in public checking 10101. And so we'll be making that transfer into the public facilities fee in the near future, which will then give us about $213,000 as soon as we do that.
Thank you.
I have some supplemental comments after your board might question Ms. Cassiola on anything else.
I have no questions.
I have no questions.
No questions for me.
No.
So, you know, the report that she's put together really reflects what the legal requirement is to identify all the cash and cash equivalent investments that the district is holding and reporting to the board of directors on a quarterly basis the ins and outs of those different cash or investment accounts. And what we then do sometimes is we go, well, okay, so that's a legal requirement. Can we put that into a different type of a context that then has more meaning than just simply these are the different cash accounts we had and these are the pluses and minuses to it? And there's two different thoughts we have in moving forward on providing something that may be more meaningful. One is, how would these cash changes in cash balances compare to the budget reports that we provide to you on a quarterly basis? And so obviously all the deposits that we're getting into public checking account is going to track pretty closely with all the utility billing receipts that we have. Likewise, the deposits that we get from into the county's account is going to track pretty closely with all the property taxes. So with respect to the county accounts, we see that, you know, there's been relatively little money deposited, and that's because for the fiscal year, property tax, the first installment of property taxes aren't due until December 10th. In looking at it, though, you know, doing a reconciliation between the budget report and to this would be a lot of, well, these are the checks that are outstanding and haven't been cashed yet, and those types of things, which I'm not sure really is going to provide a lot more meaning to your board. So the other thought we had, and this is what we're going to be working on, is the handout that I provided. And what that is it's an excerpt from one of the previous audits, and it's a statement of cash flows that's included in audits. And I had to block out the year, and I had to sort of, because we're really not allowed to take audited statements and just present one item. The auditors don't like that. So I deleted the year, and this is only for illustrative purposes. But in the statement of cash flows in an audit, there's cash flows from operating activities, and then there's some details in here, and whether we follow those details or not, it's work in progress. But the idea is there's cash flow from operating activities, cash flows from capital and related financing. And when they say related financing, that would be the debt service on capital. It includes things like capital grants received and payments on long-term debt. And then the third category is cash flow from investing activities, which for us is going to be relatively minor because interest isn't a significant form of income right now, although we do have some rental income. And the idea that we're sort of leaning towards is to be able to show how is the cash flow in the governmental fund, in the sewer fund, in the water fund, in the garbage fund changing on a quarterly basis, and is it changing because of operations or capital activities or investing activities. One of the benefits there is that we have reserves for different purposes, and it can kind of tie back to how much are we spending out of the different reserves that we have. And the other benefit is that we need to move into allocating our interest income to the different funds on a quarterly basis. We do it sort of at the end of the year as prepping for the audit, but it's more prudent to do it on a quarterly basis. And so by showing how our changes in cash by fund have occurred, then it will get us in the routine of doing quarterly interest allocations. And that's warranted because right now the governmental fund is actually in a negative cash position. At the beginning of the year, we have payments to Five Cities Fire Authority, and yet we don't get property tax collections until December. And because we've got more than $3 million or almost $3 million altogether in the bank, and we've got more than $3 million at the beginning of the year, well, we have a sufficient cash flow in order to make those advance payments to Five Cities Fire Authority. But in reality, the government and the fund should be paying interest to water, sewer, and garbage. So the thought was to not just in the future provide the basic legal requirement, but to also provide it on a fund basis and to show where the money's coming in and where is it going out, and to assist in the allocation of interest income or interest expense. And then at the end of the year, in theory, if we got all the four quarters correct on the statement of cash flows, then it's going to match up with the audited financial statements at the end of the year. And of course, if there's any little deviations, then those would be explained as well. The second part of this sheet, which I highlighted in a red box and then I kind of grayed out, is the portion on the audited financial statements that we don't really see as being applicable in this case, because what that is that's the reconciliation between your cash flow and your income, or law, your normally income, but it's the reconciliation of cash flows to the income statement. And, you know, it shows a lot of little details that seem to, you know, get accountants excited, like how much did accounts payable change, how much did accounts receivable change, and those kind of things. And that is relevant, again, if you're going to compare changes in cash to an income statement. But I think that for quarterly purposes, what we really want to do is take a look at the different cash accounts we have, how have they changed, and then how does that cash flow affect our different funds. So that's the general direction that we're going in. And those were my supplemental comments.
Any questions? I feel like I've just taken an accounting class. It's.
Oh, I like this because with funds, you're on top of it. It's not like you got to wait till the end of the year and go, oh, guess what? This is very, very good.
Yeah.
You got it now? Okay, good.
By me.
No cost questions, no comments. We don't need to take any action, or do you?
No action required.
You want a straw vote on changing that, or are you just going to go?
We're going to just continue to move forward to do that, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Any hearing items? Moving on to item 10, hearing items. 11, received written communications.
Nothing to add. As a reminder, as a normal course of day-to-day, if I see things that come through that I think are noteworthy informational items, I blind copy all board members. And I think you see that from time to time. In fact, you probably see me doing it in little flurries from time to time as I'm getting caught up on different things. And so what I really do on received written communications, if we've received something that I think is going to be a future discussion item, then those are what I bring back to the board. Because if it's going to be a future discussion item, then certainly it's more noteworthy for the public to understand that we got some. But for the most part, the informational items come through on blind copies. So if you see a blind copy on something and you're thinking that you think it might be a future discussion item, then just pose the question back to me if, whether or not, you know, it might be a future item.
Let's move to future items.
And my only comment there is I have professional services proposals as future agenda items, and to be more specific, that really relates to the local hazard mitigation plan and the need to get the request for proposals out on the street for that.
Okay.
We could also add bid documents to that list, and those will be in front of your board in the very near future.
Okay. Is there anything else to come before this board?
Not from here.
Not from here.
I'm having a hard time reading Celia's
1-1
scoreboard. It is 1-1? Okay.
For our viewing audience, we're following the Dodger World Series game very casually with the secretary posting some post-it notes. Thank you. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn at 7:04.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor? We adjourn.
Aye.
Go Houston.
Now we go.